Last week was a blessing to you within the message. It was a blessing to me, quite convicting as we worked through not only preparing for this sermon in the week prior, but quite convicting while preaching the sermon as well. And let's open your Bibles back up, if you will, to the book of Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua in chapter 1 this morning. We've already stood for the honor of the reading of the Word of God, and we won't do that now here again. But in Joshua chapter 1, looking in verse 2, read down to verse 7, the Bible says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Beloved, the Lord gave Joshua a promise just like he did unto Moses. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." He tells him, the Lord commands Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And he says, be very strong, doesn't he? And he tells him to have, you know, to be very courageous, if you will. One of the things that you find here in this text, that it does come with a condition. Comes with a condition. And again, it's not so much a part of the message, I would say. It's not something I'm going to focus on. But I do believe it will be advantageous for us to look at here for a 60 seconds, if you will, before getting into the sermon. You see, the Lord tells them, "I'm never going to leave you nor forsake thee." We read that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 as well. The Lord says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." What is the law? Now, we hear that phrase today, and we think of the Mosaic Law, which that's what it's referring to. We think of the 613 laws that Israel had to follow, and that's what it's referring to. But the reality is this: it was not the performance of the law that enabled them to be courageous, that enabled them to be strong, that enabled not a man to be able to stand before them, that enabled God Himself to protect them and always be with them. It was their obedience to the Word of God. And my friend, if you want to be a courageous and strong Christian in this world today, you're going to have to obey all of the Word of God, okay? You can't half-step with the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, as church members, are you the best church member that you can be today? Would the church be better, okay, if every church member was identical to you in giving, in attendance, in service, in worship, in lifestyle, in everything? That's how we need to look at things. You don't need to look at your partner, your friend, your neighbor, the one next to you in the pew. You need to look in the mirror today and ask yourself, am I obeying all of the Word of God so that I can be strong and very courageous, so that I can obtain this promise God has given me with this Christian life in the world that we are now living in? You ask yourself that question today as we do get into our topic. Joshua's faith would reside in the Lord God Almighty. His trust would be in the promise that was given unto him. Same one given unto Moses, the same one given unto Jacob, the same one given unto Isaac, and the same one given unto Abraham. "This is your land," God says. "The land that your feet shall tread upon, this is yours. The very same places that Abraham walked hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The very same place that Abraham went when I commanded him to leave his home and later to leave Lot. This is your land, good land, and a large land. This is my promise to you, God is saying. A land that was promised unto Abraham early on. So last week we heard about responsibility. And how responsibility is required to obtain the promise. We must forget the past. And we must make it personal in order to assume the promise by taking responsibility. So having already taken responsibility, I pray that you've applied that into your life over the last 7 days. I want us to understand how our faith will face obstacles in our life. Now, guys, you look around this building today, and some have faced obstacles, and they have failed today. I'm not trying to be mean, but you look around on Wednesday night, you see what pews are empty, and there are people who have faced obstacles, and they have failed in facing those obstacles, okay? You look at your tithing sheet, your mission sheet, your giving, and how you do give, and some people have faced obstacles, and they have failed. Some people have faced obstacles in all of those things, and they've succeeded. They've been very courageous. They've obtained the promise that God has given them. Guys, we need to understand what an obstacle is. Obstacle is something that stands between you and your goal. The word is simply defined as a thing that blocks one's way or prevents or hinders progress. In Israel's case, just like ours, there is something in between them and that promised land now, okay? These obstacles, sometimes they are one-offs in our lives. Other times they are daily, weekly, monthly, or even annual battles. But my friend, I have to stress this point. If you are continually to lose a regular battle in your life, and you just refusing to step it up, amen, you've lost the battle already. Yeah, you got the war of salvation, but as I mentioned last week, God ain't going to make you do anything. You don't want to come to church, you don't want to read your Bible, you don't want to pray, He ain't making you do that, but you're not going to get the blessings that He has for you. That's just the way that is. These obstacles need to be faced. They need to be defeated in pursuit of that promise. So guys, what is an obstacle? Just by way of introduction. An obstacle in your life, you know what it may be? It may be your desires. Your desires. Now pay attention here, if you will. We live in a world today which refuses to accept any form of wrong or wrongdoing. Meaning this, people will justify their actions by their inner desires. And this is what they'll claim. Well, it's just who I am. It's the way I'm built. It's just, you know, I'm Irish, so I got an Irish temper. That's what people will say. They'll make excuses for who and what they are. They'll make excuses for their desires. Beloved, can I say this to you this morning? When you are defined by your desires, you are wrong. Just because you have a desire does not give you a green light to live it out. It is an obstacle in your life. Secondly, some of the things that we face are our decisions. Too often we make decisions based on circumstances that we have placed ourselves in. And when it goes south, we make the excuse, well, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Incorrect. We chose to be in that place, and then we made a decision because of the place we were in, a bad decision afterwards. It is an obstacle in your life. It is an obstacle. Sometimes it's just flat out delinquencies. Simply put, guys, too many are just absent in their Christian worship, in their Christian life. They've switched off in society, they've switched off in service, and they know what to do, and yet they still refuse to do it. It's an obstacle, my friend. It's an obstacle. So what about those desires this morning? I know we have a lot to get through this morning, but I want to crack on. Those desires, you need to get those desires right, and you need to fight them. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, watch this, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's mighty through God, and then we're to pull them down, these strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember what I said a moment ago about Israel? They're stood there. There's an obstacle. God's saying, be strong, be very courageous. There's the promise. I've given it to you. I'll never fail you. But you're going to have to obey that word. Those desires in your life that is pulling you away from Christ, those desires are enabling you to be unfaithful. Let's just call it what it is. That's a high thing, exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And you can justify it all you want. Well, the preacher, you don't understand. I got bills to pay. I got to do this. Let me tell you something. You put God first in your life and you obey that word right there, He'll make sure things are taken care of. What about those decisions? Wrong place, wrong time, right? I want to give you an example from the Holy Scriptures, probably one of the greatest examples ever. 1 Chronicles 20, verse 1, and you can read it from the screen. It says, and it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time the kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But, changing the other side of the street every time you see the word but, David tarried at Jerusalem. Now, we know what happened after this, don't we? While all the men, every single man was out fighting, the time when kings go to battle, while all the men were at war, David sat back in his comfy little castle and wandered out on that balcony, didn't he? Got out there on that balcony, looked down. Fine-looking woman was down there taking a bath. He took a couple another look, called for her, committed adultery. She got pregnant. And then you know the story after that. He tried to cover that sin up by bringing Uriah the Hittite, her husband, over, getting him drunk, having him go. I mean, and he had more integrity in his pinky than what David had. Later on, he had him murdered. 9 months later, Nathan would expose him. Thou art the man, he said. The baby would die. All because, wrong place, wrong time, negative. He chose to be where he was, and because of that, bad decisions were made. Quit making excuses for obstacles that you have placed in your life. Remove them. What about delinquencies? Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Brother, can I say this to you this morning with all compassion that is inside of me? There is coming a day when you're not going to be able to do what you can or should do today. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, I wish I'd have done X, Y, Z when I could. So the first obstacle that we find in the book of Joshua here is the River Jordan. Here we find Israel on the other side of Jordan waiting to enter the promised land by the help of the Lord and His people coming over. I mean, all that stands in their way is the rushing River Jordan. Israel had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and they could all but see, touch, and taste that promised land. But none of that helps them because that vastly flowing river is sat before them, just rushing in front of them. You know what the River Jordan is known as? The River Jordan is known as the River of Judgment. It is noted as one of the fastest moving rivers on the face of the planet, and evidence of that is found in places where vegetation will not grow because the water moves so fast. Now, there are some times of the year, you'll see this in verse 15 in chapter 3 here in just a moment, but at some times of the year, someone could easily walk across the River Jordan without complication, just like we could our Severn, okay? But not this time of year, not during the harvest. Verse 15c tells us that it's filled to the brim, if you will, filled to the brink. 3 days, Israel would camp at the River Jordan. They would hear that mighty rushing waters of that river, a perpetual reminder of the obstacle that stood between them and the promised land. So I ask you this morning, as we get into the meat of this message, what are the obstacles between you and the promise today? What are the obstacles? Forget the past, man. We covered that. We already covered that. You should be done with the past. You shouldn't be coming here this morning with your eyeballs focused on the past. That's over with. We covered it last week. I'm talking about what has lied before you this morning. What is set before you? What is the obstacle between you and the greatest marriage you can ever have? What is the obstacle between you and the peace of God inside of your heart, mind, and soul, and body? What is that obstacle today between you and being able to fulfill the Christian life? What's hindering you? What's keeping you from pleasing the Lord the most? That's what you have to face today. That's what you have to answer this morning. For Israel, it's the River Jordan. There it is. Now, I'd love to tell you that once they got past that River Jordan, that was the only obstacle. But now you got to wait till next week to hear the next one. There's more obstacles on the other side of the river. But until you get past that big old river, you can't enjoy the promise. So we're going to jump over to chapter 3 real quick, if you will, and look and see what happens here with the nation of Israel and how this promised land was to come to them and how they were to face the obstacles that lied before them. In Joshua chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." Verse 2. "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." I want you to notice something here in verses 2 and 3. Two things I want you to notice, and I've shortened it down. When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and then later on it says in verse 3, go after it. No other instructions were given at this time. Just go after the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to understand that the Ark of the Covenant was Israel's most sacred treasures. It was a symbol of God's presence. It was a symbol of God's power among His people. The Ark was a rectangular box with two golden rectangular box, I should say, with two cherubim facing one another on the cover. And inside of that was the Ten Commandments. It was given by Moses, a container of manna, which fell from heaven, and the rod of Aaron that budded. It was the symbol of the high priest authority. The ark was to be borne, not dragged, not carried upon a cart, but it was to be borne by the Levites. It was constructed at the same time of the tabernacle. It sat in the holies of holies, the most sacred place of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God on this earth. That's the Ark of the Covenant. So the orders were set, and the direction was given to overcome the first obstacle. Notice with me the preparation here this morning. Look in verse 5 of your chapter. Just read this amongst verse 5 of chapter 3. He says, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Beloved, the people were commanded to prepare for a wonderful working of the Lord, to be ready, to be prepared. There's an obstacles in our life, guys, that we must prepare for. Preparing would include the spirit of expectation. And I wonder sometimes in our life, do we have an expectant mind and heart among ourselves? These people were to possess this expectant heart and mind within their very being. The expectation that the Lord was going to do wonders. So here's the question. Do we have the same expectations in our life? Do we have the same expectations when we come to the local church? Guys, do you know the importance of the local church? I know I've taught on it here. You know, Jesus Christ died for the local church. Oh, but preacher, He died for my soul to give me eternal life. He established the local church. Matthew 16, 18. "And upon this rock Himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, which is the pagan religions of this world, shall not prevail against it." The obstacles in your life. Are you prepared for them? When you come to church, do you come to church with a spirit of expectation? Are you looking for God to do a wonderful work in your life this morning? When we roll out of our beds in the morning, are we looking for that wonderful wonder, if you will, that God's going to do something today? Secondly, we not only see the preparation, We find a pattern. Look in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Notice with me within this pattern. There's three things we find within this pattern. Number one, we find a point of reference. Now, we're on this side of the obstacle, aren't we? Right here we are. There's a big, massive obstacle in front of us. And I want to get over in that promised land. It's much like setting a goal up for a 100-kilo snatch. Yep. There's the weight. There's the two blues on each side. 20-kilo bar. There it is. Is that what you're looking at as a point of reference? Well, you're not if you can't do it. Amen. That's an obstacle that you're going to have to face. And there's those obstacles is going to be the 90-kilo snatch and the 85-kilo snatch and the 80-kilo snatch and the 75 and the 70 until you get to that point of the destination. But you're not looking at the 100 kilos. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at the 70 where you are now. There's a point of reference within this pattern. The Bible says, go after it. What's the it? It's not the promised land. The it isn't the 100 kilos. The it isn't the destination. My friend, the it is what God has given them to look upon. They were to have their eyes upon the symbol of God on this earth, the Ark of the Covenant. When you see it, when you see the Ark, go after it. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friend, it's a pattern for you to overcome your obstacle in this life to get that promise that God has given is to keep your eyes on a point of reference who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the pattern is set also for a position. Look in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Guys, you know what? The people not only needed to have the proper point of reference in their sight, but listen carefully. They were to have the proper position to maintain that sight. We know with every centimeter, meter, we change, our angle changes of the point of reference, does it not? Probably one of the greatest events in the Word of God to explain this very topic is found in Matthew chapter 14. Verses 29 through 30, and we know that Jesus Christ is walking on the water. Peter says, hey, you know, bid me to come. Here's what happens in verse 29. And he said, come, the Lord did. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Beloved, Peter was doing what Jesus Christ was doing. This is the only two men in recorded history that defied gravity, that broke all the law of physics, walking on water. Amen. Peter's obstacle was not the water. Peter's obstacle was not the gravity. He defied both of those things the moment he stepped out onto the water. While his eyes were focused on the point of reference, Jesus Christ. But the very millisecond that he took his eyes off Christ and placed them on the storms, he sank like a rock. As soon as he placed his eyes on the obstacle, down he went in defeat. So where are you focusing this morning? Where's your heart right now, this very moment? Is it on the words that I said 10 minutes ago? Can you not get past the fact that I may have called some of you out for being unfaithful? I'm just going to say this. If the shoe fits, wear it. Okay? You know what to do to change it. You know how to get better. You know how to be better. You know how to be better than yesterday. Amen? You guys know me well enough, guys. Anything I say is for your benefit, praise the Lord. But it's gotten really tight in here this morning, and I'm thinking it's tight in here this morning because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit has kicked the daylights of some people's heart, and you're not going to let go of what was said 10, 12 minutes ago, rather than learning for what you need to see to get past the obstacle right now. So where's your focus right now? Upon whom are you placing your sight? You see, they were to be in a position following and focusing on God. Not the situation, not the circumstance, but God. They were not to shorten or lengthen the distance between the two, lest their view of God be blurred or maligned. In facing our obstacles, my friend, many times we wanted it over as quick as possible. We want to, like a plaster, just rip it off. That's what we want. We become hasty in our decisions and make ill choices in doing so. This is why within the pattern, oftentimes, the Lord gives us a time period. Look in Joshua chapter 3. Look in verse 8 with me now. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, watch this, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Man, everything is set. The pattern is laid. The point of reference is God. The position, the people are in their place. And now the Lord gives them a period to wait. Wait on God to move. Guys, during this time period, it's a period of patience. It's a period of trust, faith, dependence. And sometimes it's a period of silence. Beloved, I do not know how long it's going to take, but what I do know that if we're not given a green light to go, we stay still. We have a period of patience, trust, faith, independence, and a little bit of silence, but it does not mean we are to be sitting back on our laurels, expecting everything to be done for us. We are to still be busy improving our life, making sound choices and whatnot. But we've been given a pattern to follow, and before we take foot. And move on. We wait. It means we keep working, guys. It means we keep pressing forward. It means we keep moving ahead, trusting that we will overcome the obstacle in due time. Luke chapter 9:13 tells us here. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Neither do you. I know this while I'm here waiting for him to come back. I'm not to sit back on my haunches, but I'm to occupy. You know, it's the only time the word occupy shows up in the New Testament. It only shows up in the Old Testament one time in the book of Ezekiel. So the pattern is issued and the point is set. And you know what we see now? We see the person. We see the person. Joshua chapter 3 verse 9. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. Beloved, we see God is the Lord your God. Amen. You know what that means? That means that he is personal, my friend. Personal. He's your God. The Lord is not some genie in a bottle or some God resting on a hillside somewhere, nor is he an imaginary thing that someone's created in their mind. Guys, he is personal to each and every one of us. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Pezerites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now we read that he's not only the Lord your God, he's not only personal, now he's the living God. What does that mean? That means he's powerful. The Lord is not some dead God made with man's hands as the heathen worship. He's alive and living. He is powerful. He is the epitome thereof. That old hymn reads that there's power in the blood. Amen. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Joshua chapter 3 verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you unto Jordan. Beloved, not only is he the Lord your God, making him personal, not only is he the living God, making him powerful, but he is the Lord over of all the earth, amen, which means he is present, praise God. You know what I'm thankful for today? I don't have to go searching for God. Amen. I don't know. I don't have to ever in my life question, where in the world is he? Elijah was mocking out those prophets of Baal over there. And he says, where's your God? Peradventure he sleepeth, or maybe he's on a trip, or, you know, I don't know. I can, maybe he's on the phone. I don't, whatever it may be. But our God is present. And this is the Lord that we serve. This is the Lord that we follow in uncharted waters and the areas that we've never been before. This is the Lord in whom we trust in new times, new days, new eras, unfailing trust and dependence, waiting to see the wonders of tomorrow. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and praise God for that. He knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. He's not caught off guard at anything at all. And it's not our job to know. It's our job to follow. Think about it like this. If we knew who was going to be saved tomorrow, if we knew the blessings of next year, where would the joy reside? What about the darker side of that? I hate to bring it up. What about deaths? Beloved, if you knew that a child of yours was going to die of disease tomorrow, next month, or next year, you wouldn't have the joy of today. Abraham had no idea where he was going. The Lord commanded him to walk. He just knew he was told to walk, and he did. He just knew that wherever his feet touched, whatever land it touched, would become his descendants. And so therefore he trusted God and he followed. And the same with Moses. They were forced to walk 40 years in the wilderness. He didn't know where he was going. He just kept his eyes on God and he walked onward. There was a ship one time crossing the sea, a leaky ship at that, and some of the passengers became worried. So they spoke to the captain, and they expressed their fears of drowning in the midst of this sea, and the captain agreed with them. He said, true, she is a leaky ship. We very well could go down. He said, but the boilers on this ship are temperamental. We very well could go up. But he said, whether we go up or whether we go down, we must go on. And beloved, we don't know what next week, next month, next year holds. We don't know what's going to happen. Hey, we may very well go down. We may very well die today. We may very well go up. The Lord may descend in the heavens with a shout and call us up there. But this one thing we do know today, we must go on. We must go forward. This personal, powerful, and present God will lead our way. We must keep our eyes upon Him. Lastly, today, and we'll be finished. And this is the beautiful part of the whole thing. A little bit of reading in the front end. This is the nugget for you this morning. I want you to witness with me the providence of God's hand. If you have your Bibles open, read it from there, because there's a lot of verses on the screen. But in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, it says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. Those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now here's a nugget for you this morning, and I'll close. We see the mighty Russian River stand up as a heap. The greatest force known to man on all the earth was now standing as a heap of straw. And did you know that the Lord stood that water at the city of Adam? That's the only place in the Bible that the city of Adam is ever mentioned. He cut off the flow to the Salt Sea, also known as the Dead Sea, a place where nothing lives. This River Jordan, this river of judgment, was cut off from a city called Adam, ceasing to provide water to a place of death. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The person, the path, the place of death was cut off by the providential hand of the Lord, your God. And this was accomplished by simply following Him, by keeping His eyes on Him. And we too, guys, have crossed the river of judgment with the curse of Adam cut off from the place of death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." It doesn't matter, guys, if we've never been here before. It doesn't matter if we've never been to this place in our life. It doesn't matter if the circumstances and situations that you're dealing with this morning, you've never set foot on. There is a promise on the other side of your obstacle today. And maybe we've never been at this place together. And maybe the options are not quite what they may seem. But by fully and faithfully trusting the Lord for eternal salvation, as well as temporal blessings, today the pattern is set. The preparation has been made to trust the person with the providential hand who gave you eternal life, and He will see you through the obstacle that's in your day today, the one that may arise tomorrow, the many that are going to be set before you over the next 12 months and there beyond. For the Bible says, "For you have not passed this way hitherto for." Beloved, we see the Lord Jesus Christ and we look toward God who knows all about tomorrow. And you know what our job is to do today? Simply go after it. Face the obstacle. Trust God. Make the corrections and move accordingly. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, we thank You, Lord, for the many blessings You've given us. We thank You for who and what You are and all that You've done. And I ask of You today that if You will, please take Your word and write it upon our hearts, dear God. Lord, if the Spirit got tied in here this morning a little bit, Father, I pray that You would have the victory. Lord, whatever we may be lifting up in front of You today will be brought down through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, let us take Your word today, this very first part of facing the obstacles, by taking responsibility with our life. And let us move, dear God, by keeping our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we ask everything and all things. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray that preaching and teaching the word of God was a blessing to your heart and mind this morning.